Welcome to Folio, an actual play podcast about solo and epistolary TTRPGs. I'm your host, Seda, and I'm showcasing multiple possible experiences of self-paced games by inviting guests to play them alongside me so I can compile our stories together. Today, we're finishing our Games of Accomplice, a role-playing game about researching the unknown by Michael Klimaris. With me again are Tomas Jimena Rioja and Caleb Zane Hewitt. Get yourself on the list to be notified of the Kickstarter launch for Magnolia City of Marvels, a systemless setting of art, punk, and rebellion, and check out the physical edition of Triangle Agency, a role-playing game of paranormal investigation and corporate horror. All of the links are in the episode description. Last episode, we finished up the research phase, so we're sliding into the final two phases, or perhaps more accurately, the final phase, which has two parts, the plan and the ending. The end of your story in Accomplice is essentially predefined in that the game notes that your plan for sure works. Whatever it was that you came up with during the research phase does the job, but on top of that, you get a prompt to define a complication that occurred as you enacted it. I generally bristle at prescribed narratives in games, but if they're really well implemented, as I think this one is, they're fantastic. In Accomplice, I think that it is really genre savvy. The drama in A Monster of the Week rarely comes from a failure to defeat the evil, but from whatever happened while you're doing it. And I think it's great, and I think that the prompts give you a lot of room to still have narrative consequences from anything else that you've explored in the course of your game. As for the rest of the mechanics, honestly, I'm just going to kick back and let Caleb tell you how it works, because he pretty much handled it in his recording. So now it's time to devise the plan.
Now we need a plan.
And now we enter into the plan. So the plan I have not done before. The research I had gotten a little practice with, so I was going into it pretty flowy. The plan I have not even really read. So let's read that together. When you are done with your research, you will devise a plan for you and your partner to execute to defeat the creature. Describe all the aspects of your plan. What is your plan to defeat your foe? Where and when is the trap happening, and how confident does your partner feel about the trap? So here's my thought. Our plan is to get to them in the Marriott and find them while they're still in this Crash Bandicoot costume, using the chaos of the injury they'd done to someone by spin attacking them after having seen Crash Bandicoot online. Like, they saw Crash Bandicoot and their like internal database scanned and figured out who Crash Bandicoot is. And they attack someone who had a big weapon on them. We want to use the approach of actual security, pinning them in a particular place, and the goop we got from our alien in the previous episode that typically disrupts robots, but in this case, we're hoping will gum up the suit such that they can't escape from the Crash Bandicoot suit and are stuck inside of it until they run out of power. So I'm here to help, and I'm here to help organize like where we're going and what location we're going to be in, how to point Zill at the target. But Zill is going to be using the goop that we have to gum up the works by firing it at them at the right time, and is going to be putting themselves in harm's way, diving into danger, and potentially exposing themselves as a problem as security approaches. So they might get spin kicked by Crash Bandicoot. They might be captured by security and themselves kicked out of the convention or gotten put into trouble. And the thing that we're using to fire this goop looks kind of like a gun. So there is some added risk there of something that actually does kind of look like a weapon being in Dragon Con. That's not just a toy weapon. But since it is like a sci-fi thing, since it's an alien thing, maybe it looks like a weird... People would assume looking at it that maybe it was like a Doctor Who prop, but it is like real space metal. They have different elements up there. That's one of the things I've learned from the future. My partner feels very confident about the trap because they feel confident about everything. They believe me, they trust me, and they have never failed at anything in their lives, so they're not nervous.
To find this entity of the dark, I have a chat with Jorge in ways for us to capture the doppelganger
And we have developed a plan. It involves using a carnival. A carnival is a place where many people meet. So the doppelganger may feel cocky about meeting Esther. Or Jorge at least. Jorge will be going alone. As he has written within the newspapers. In code for Morpher to meet him in the Parque de la Costa. A carnival. A place where a house of mirrors is located. We're going to be trapping Morpher there. We will be going on plain daylight. We are using two advantages that the doppelganger has decided to show. Jorge has managed to talk with the people there at the park, at this carnival, in order to set on this day a theme around it. All Nordic, all Norse. We are using Odin, Thor, Loki, all the popular Norse gods, Vikings as well. Everything is going to use that theme in order to have the doppelganger feel comfortable in there. They will think that they will be able to escape easily if needed, even though they will be located within daylight and at House of Mirrors. That's where Jorge will meet to avenge his wife, Rosa. It may be difficult to find a way in or out of the House of Mirrors. It is a maze after all. But Jorge may have has already planned for this. He has studied the way the mirrors are located and how to easily escape. Jorge is excellent at what he does. He's memorized the whole place. When Jorge finds the doppelganger in there, they are surely going to try to escape after being shown. They surely want to laugh off at the face of Jorge after what he's done. But even if he manages to escape, all the people at the carnival will be moved to another location. On the other corner from the carnival, they are going to be gifting many sort of prizes. This is going to be a big investment. Now, where and when is the trap happening? We have already said so. At the maze. At the House of Mirrors within the Parque de la Costa there in Buenos Aires. How confident does your partner feel about the trap? I like to think that he's confident. However, I am sure he is terrified of this entity, even though he may have a never-ending anger against them. Jorge has never managed to accept Rosa's death. He can't fail at this.
Let's answer some questions. What is your plan to defeat your foe? It's a great question. I think it's go inside the house. Like, you know, we're like, obviously there's a reason that there's a reason that no one's ever allowed inside the house. It must be where, like, there must be weaknesses in there or something. So yeah, I think in a lot of ways that's the plan is get inside the house, figure it out from there, which isn't like an amazing plan when it comes to planning, but I think that's what it is. Maybe I can figure out a little bit more about like what our plan is, about how to do that. I think it has to be something that separates us, because to continue to like play into like some of the themes that this game is setting up, I think that I can't go in with the hero. Oh, I host like a gala for the PTA or a fundraiser or something. Like I'm like, I mean, it would have already had to been planned, but like, so we know that the PTA elections are next week, and I'm like, there's a fundraiser event at the gallery tonight, and we know that everybody who's running for PTA will be schmoozing at that event. So I'm just going to make sure that I keep Brenda occupied. And while she's there, you go into the house, which is an alien, as we know. Maybe it's the kind of thing where we have to set it up like normally that wouldn't necessarily be a schmoozing event. But I make sure to like drop hints to all, like, it's you know, I go to every single person who's running for that same position, and I'm like, what are your plans for this weekend? Oh, yeah, no, I'm running this one event. I know that Brenda was really excited to be there so she can talk to all the constituents, ha 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 ha. And they're like, you know, that was also, I was hoping that I could make it. And, you know, I really should just prioritize it. And I go to each one of them and use one of the other's names, like, oh, again, names. I was like, come up with just a classic suburban mom name and an Electra. You know, whatever. I social maneuver all of the people who are running for the PTA to be at this fundraising event so that we can distract them. I realize that I've established this person as like a suburban mom, but no kids. But I guess that makes sense. If we're like college age, then she's also like, yeah, my kid's off at university or whatever. How confident does your partner feel about the trap? I'm thinking through this because it could go two ways. Again, multiple ways, but the two main ways are like, they're not confident because they've been rusty this whole time, you know? And they're like, I don't remember how to do this. But there's also like, oh shit, I'm back to the old me, but excited tone, you know? Oh shit, I'm back to the old me. So like, I think there's part of them, you know, we have a conversation as we're setting up for the fundraising event. Like the hero is helping me just unstack chairs and put them out and put tablecloths on the little tables and whatever. And we have sort of, we're having an idle conversation, and then it turns into them. I think for the first time, this is the first time that they admit like things haven't been perfect away at college, and that like they're really happy, but also like sometimes they just feel so outside of it because they've had all these experiences that nobody else can understand. You know, no one else had a supernatural task force that kept saving the world as a child. And so sometimes like they do just like they miss being around people who understand them, like understand those deep parts of them. And they like apologize for any resistance that they showed during this process, you know, like they're like, sorry if I got in the way or wasn't cooperating. I was scared that doing this would erase growth that I've had while I've been away from it. And I just wanted to deny that it was ever part of my life, because it is something that like causes pain and alienation in the life that I'm trying to create. I wanted to deny that it's part of me, but it is part of me. And it feels good. It feels good to acknowledge that again, to be somewhere where I can... Hi, Geralt. How did you do that, buddy? I thought that was closed. Yeah, it feels good. It feels good to do this and to do it as the person I am now, the person that I've learned to be in my time away from it. And so I think they feel good. They feel really confident. They're like, we've gotten at it worse before, you know? Maybe it's not even a big deal. And I sort of, you know, chuckle again, kind of ruefully and warily. And I'm like, well, you should know not to say that. Never say that it's not a big deal. And they laugh. And I think there's just this like quiet confidence about them. And I think for the first time, my character like doesn't feel disconnected in that moment. Like I see something that is new in this person. And that's been something that has been really scary for me. And I think for the first time here, I just feel like pride, where I'm like, oh, this person I love might not be that exact person, but I love the person that they're becoming too. And that's exciting. So they're feeling good about it. They're ready to go into the house that's an alien.
My plan succeeds and my foe is defeated, but something unexpected occurs. All right, let's draw a card for a prompt. A 10 of diamonds, the 10. While acting out your plan, you discover a huge flaw, but still succeed with no complications. What was the flaw and how did you luck out? Okay, I think there's two flaws. The first one is that Zill is still in the Black Rose outfit with the giant fake axe. And instead of being able to sneak up on this android, when he comes up, the android Joey One sees his fake axe and she immediately turns to him as a target. So instead of just being like a member of the crowd watching as the security chases this Crash Bandicoot so they can fire goop into the suit and seal it, as they approach, their axe gets scanned by Joey One and she turns directly to him and starts attacking him. She's super strong. Zill is quick and fast, but doesn't actually have a lot of experience manipulating these alien devices anyway. So instead of having the time to like sit and focus and aim well, his gun gets like knocked out of his hands, the alien gun. His sword gets snapped in half and destroyed, and he gets like knocked to the side, having to sort of like try to catch his breath and get back in place to try to stop this android. Luckily, I'm nearby. Gonna let myself be the hero here as Charlie. And the alien gun gets knocked out of Zill's hand, slides across the hotel carpet, and stops by my feet. I pick it up. Zill realizes that if I'm going to successfully do this, I'm not a good shot. I don't have practice like this. I didn't come from the post-apocalyptic future where I know how to use, you know, firearms well. He's going to have to distract Crash Bandicoot Joey One. And so he dives back into a really dangerous zone, starts dodging around, getting their attention to keep them stuck there for the moment, as I, shaky hands, narrowed eyes, fire with intense recoil at Joey One, and this dark techie, like chromatic black goop. I say chromatic, I'm meaning opalescent black goop that has like big sort of green and purple in it when you look at it in the light, fires at the suit and immediately begins like hunting around it, looking a little venomy, as it finds the cracks and crevices, fills them in, and makes the whole suit sealed around the android, cutting off even the small amounts of sunlight that they would be getting from things like the eye holes. So we know that they don't have power and they're going to begin losing power soon. However, security is coming at us. They've seen me fire a weapon. They've seen a fight break out with Zill. And so we have to figure out a way to get this android out of there before they get captured by security, because we want to stop them and potentially reprogram them and become friends with them and have them join our team. But if security finds them, the android is going to get scooped back up by their creator. They're going to refine what they've already done to Joey One. Joey One might escape again and eventually become an evil tyrant. So we have to try to stop that. And maybe long-term, work with Joey One on taking down the company before they make more Joeys that could also themselves become the tyrants. That's kind of a fun twist. If we think it's Joey that's the evil one, but really the evil one is still coming later and Joey is able to help us because we've given her a chance to learn how to be a person. I didn't get the injury complication, but I think if I was doing this episode myself, there would be. I think Zill would break an arm or something. I think we would be dealing with a lot of risk being up close to this kind of automatically violent robot. And so how do we get out of this? We lure them away. Zill runs off with the robot while I intercept security. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. This was supposed to be a prop. It was just goop. I didn't mean to do that. And I make a big deal out of how I'm turning myself in to distract them from being able to get to Joey One while Zill lures Joey One away from the crowds, leaves him outside, and goes on like a longer chase until the lack of sunlight means that her battery is draining quickly. And when she loses a significant amount of power, Zill is able to pick her up, put her in a car with us that we brought at a particular parking deck, or maybe he steals a car briefly, and take her back to my house, probably because he's from the future and doesn't have a house. Take her back to my house, and we will figure out how to help her from there. Meanwhile, I get in trouble, Zill gets a broken arm, and I'm permanently banned from Dragon Con forever.
Your plan succeeds and your foe is defeated, but something unexpected occurs. To record for a prompt. This is a 10 of diamonds. While acting out your plan, you discover a huge flaw but still succeed with no complications. What was the flaw and how did you luck out? Okay, we are going to say that even though we planned all of this excellently, we didn't expect 3 children will still be within the maze by the time everyone else has moved to the other corner from the park. These didn't find a way out in time and were still trapped within the maze. Jorge was close to shooting one of these kids, but when he noticed that more than one person was within the maze, he noticed that the plan wasn't going according to what we had expected, which meant that the doppelganger Morpher had an advantage here. They could hide in an easier manner. We just needed Jorge to find the kid who didn't actually look like the reflection. The never-ending anger caused Jorge to shoot these mirrors. And no kid was harmed. They all just laid there on the ground, terrified by the sound of the shot that occurred. And within the many fragments of these mirrors, Jorge was able to discern the figure of the doppelganger was not looking like the kid that they looked like. Jorge didn't flinch. Jorge didn't think for a single second more. Bang! The ghoulish entity dissolved into pure goo. There in the maze, part of the earnings from the many wealthy that paid Jorge for this went into therapy for these 2 kids that were left. But we didn't manage to find the doppelganger. We killed them. And that is how we approach the ending.
Your plan succeeds and your foe is defeated, but something unexpected occurs. Draw a card for a prompt. King. Victory came more easily than you thought it would. How did you over-prepare? Oh, that's so funny. I mean, the hero is like kitted up. You know, they're like ready for a fight. They've got our hacker friend on speed dial, whatever. And they're like, this could be super dangerous. And then they walk in and an alarm starts going off. Not like a burglar alarm, but like a proximity alarm. And they've set off some sort of automatic retreat. Like, they go in and it's just like, in a way that I bet is actually budget concerns, so that we only see one room of the house because it's like weird biotech shit, you know? And we see that and the hero is looking around and the door in front of them to get deeper into the house as they reach for it disappears. It just slurps back into the wall and red lights start flashing and it leaves. It's like automatic whatever retreat enabled. You have 10 seconds to get out of here before I leave the planet. And the hero had been ready for a fight and is like bewildered, steps out, and the house leaves. It folds up into that true form we saw in that zine from the 30s, and it just leaves. It shoots up into the atmosphere, at least for a while. You know, I bet it's the kind of thing where like maybe they'd have to, maybe this is just like a lizard dropping its tail off. No, that's not an appropriate metaphor at all, simile at all. It might just be a tactical retreat, but it is a retreat. And the house that is an alien is gone. And I think it didn't take Brenda with it. Brenda's with me. And she looks up in panic at one point and notices me watching her and suddenly realizes that I know. And I think to figure out more about what that means, let's go into the ending.
Some big sacrifices. I can never return to Dragon Con. We broke an arm. We have to deal with Crash Bandicoot living in our house and the dangers of a new android. But we also maybe made a friend, if we can help her understand the world that she's in and protect her from the company that built her. And ultimately, she's a valuable and powerful ally to stop the apocalyptic future from coming. And that is the plan. Next up, we go into the end.
Morpher is dead. Jorge Puñales managed to get his revenge on the death of Rosa Martinez, as well as many other wealthy individuals from the city of Buenos Aires, and possibly from many other sections from the world. This doppelganger that has been living for centuries met their doom. And now we get to the ending. Once the evil has been defeated, answer the following questions. What have you learned about the world? We learned that the president from Argentina was actually hidden deep within a bunker in the middle of the country. We had to search for it for 2 whole weeks. 2 whole weeks that we had to hide the people from Argentina, that the president was not to be seen and possibly dead. Several people disappeared as well, with no trace. We suspect that these may have been victims from Morpher, that Morpher may have infiltrated and taken their place. D.H. Gellard, the author of the book, is still there. So we are still suspecting that they may be another doppelganger, maybe one that wanted to help us. We are not sure of that.
Hooray! The evil is defeated, or perhaps brought into the fold, based on how the following episodes go. We got to see Dragon Con in all its glory. We had extras dressed up, best day of their lives, filmed on location, made it an event, and soon the episode of this sci-fi TV show will appear on screens everywhere. But let's talk about the ramifications. What happens when we return home? What have you learned about the world? I think part of that is obvious. This is episode 2 or 3. I've learned with confidence that this stuff is not going to stop happening, that there is a company out there making androids that are very dangerous and have lax security protocols around them, and that humanity has passed the point where robots can be people, and now one of them is my friend in my house who I have to teach about the world. That's a lot of stuff I've learned. I think I've also learned that nobody really recognized our dot hack outfits while we were hanging out on the floor, which makes me feel like I'm getting old.
I just want to name the things I'm percolating on that, again, I'm going to have to just kind of untangle to make this obviously incredibly logical narrative make sense. The most obvious being, like, if other buildings in the town are also aliens, does that mean that no one has ever been in those buildings? If so, how did no one notice? But if not, why? And so I think that's, I'm going to tie that into the very first question is, what have you learned about the world? First of all, sometimes buildings are aliens. I'm going to write that down, because that's important. And I think this is like, we get, you know, the end of episode lore dump. We're brought into City Hall. No, we're at the gallery. Me and the hero. We're at the gallery cleaning up after the fundraiser, which was last night. Or at the end of the night. Yeah, this is just the end of the night. The hero comes to the gallery and we're cleaning up and we're chatting. And we learn about this with Brenda. That's what it is. Because I just am like, hey, Brenda, stick around. Like, we gotta talk. And Brenda's like, yeah. And she's helping us clean up, you know, whatever. This is part of the role that she's inhabited for the past while. And we're asking, we're like, so is it true that these other buildings are also that species? And she's like, yep. And the hero does like a, well, but I've been inside that store and it doesn't look like, it sort of twists their face up. And Brenda laughs and she's like, yeah, it takes time. They're old. You need to acclimate. Like, young buildings. Young buildings look goopy still. Young building aliens look goopy. And older ones just look like buildings inside. They've had time. They need to ripen, you know, in some ways. And, you know, she sort of like shakes her head mournfully at one point. And she was like, you know, it was never going to be, the house was never going to be permanent. And she has, you know, some alien name, some difficult to pronounce name for that alien, but refers to it by name. Like, it's like, you know, Gleep Glorp, wanted to be a school. Oh, that's what it is. It's like the house was an adolescent and Brenda was trying to get onto the PTA in part so that she could shape the school to be in a form that the alien could take, because that alien wanted to be a school, maybe as a job. I'm trying to decide how sinister this is. I think it's ambiguous because it's like there is still manipulation being done here, but like maybe this house that wanted to be a school wasn't going to eat kids, but like it's still kind of weird to manipulate people in order to become the school. Yeah, you know, whatever. And so the direction I was going to go with this was that like government agents from the organization that our astronomer friend seems to be working for, the shadowy government organization, comes to talk to us to like get information and stuff. But no, I'm just going to stick with us talking with Brenda as we're tearing down the fundraiser. We're learning sometimes buildings are aliens. When they're young, they look goopy inside, and then eventually they get older, they're mature, and then they're just buildings. And maybe they have an agenda, maybe they don't. That's not what we're going to learn this episode.
How's your relationship with your partner changed after seeing Jorge managing to put an end to this entity, no matter the cost, left traumas on the minds of those poor kids? He has many vices. As I said, I worry, and I still worry. My relationship with him has changed. Yes, I forced him to go to therapy. He is visiting a psychiatrist at the moment. He's taking medicaments, and possibly getting better. His depression is being treated. His vices are trying to be put under control, going to several locations that can help him.
How has your relationship with your partner changed? I think during all of that action, you know, they got to see me fire the gun. They were like proud of me for being involved. We've got a newfound trust for each other. And while we were in these, like this like kind of partner's costume together, there was some romantic moments. There were some dramatic romantic moments. And could it be that I'm the one being saved from my boring life or from my present instead of them who's been saved from their future? It's possible. It's possible. We didn't learn much about Charlie, but I think this is a level of risk that he has not undergone.
Has your relationship with your partner changed? Yeah, it's gotten stronger. And I think that everything we've talked about here, like, very much feels like it was probably the first episode. These were the first days of summer. Why is Brenda campaigning for I don't know when PTA elections happen. Don't worry about it. And so we're like, it's gotten stronger. And you also see us like acknowledging that maybe summer's going to be a little wacky now that the hero's back in town and we're back on a television show. We don't say that, but it is what's happening. But it's gone. We're bonding. We're recognizing, we're learning how to know each other as something closer to adults rather than as kids.
And what do you plan to do now that your opponent has been defeated? Well, that one is easy and obvious. They are going to become a main cast member. We have a pop star in our show. They are a B or C list celebrity, but they are in the show now, playing as themselves, wearing a variety of costumes. On episodes where they're not able to make it because of scheduling conflicts, the android wears a disguise, or we replace them with a different faceplate and allow them to move on being the same character. We help talk them through the world that they live in and what's happened to them. And they decide pretty shortly after that that they want to stop the company from making more, that we're going to go evil and want time to understand who they are and what the ramifications of their existence is before a bunch of them are unleashed on the world. I think there might be some nefarious secrets about how they've been built too that they might be attempting to avoid for future ones. Like maybe they really do have some like wild weapons technology in them that was not supposed to be there or was only there as a secret that they know to be worried about in the future. But we're going to become a trio. We are going to be working together to save the day from the evil future. And we are hoping that in the span of however many seasons we can get paid to produce, we can make the future a safe place and perhaps even better of a world than the one that we are already in, rather than obscenely, terribly worse Age of Apocalypse style.
What do you plan to do now that your opponent has been defeated? As of me, I am just a librarian. And Jorge doesn't seem to be going to go after these entities any longer. There is a high probability of many more doppelgangers in the confines of the world. People think they need a hero. Nah. They just need someone to take care of this mess before he turns into a bigger one, without anyone else noticing. Me, Tomas, I will take that role. And that's how we close this chapter.
What do you plan to do now that your opponent has been defeated? We're relaxing. We're chilling. It's summer. This isn't going to happen again. I lied. Summer isn't going to be weird now that the hero's back in town. No, we know that it's going to be weird, but we are just going to like, we want to just hang out. And I think the other thing that this is that we're like, hey, Brenda, what's your plan? Your house left. Are you good? Are you going to die? Like, what's happening? And she's like, I don't know. This has never happened before. Like, we've never left separately. Because usually people try to chase me out of town, you know, or they try to chase the drone out of town and they don't go inside the house. And so, like, the drone has the opportunity to, like, escape into the house and then they leave together or whatever. So this has never happened before. So it's unprecedented. And we're like, okay, well, if you don't do weird power grabs and stuff, do you want to be part of our supernatural fighting team? I think is probably ultimately the thing. Maybe as a minor character, but I think like Brenda, you know, resigns from the campaign trail for the PTA and starts working at the gallery with me, and she'll be around. She'll be our new cool alien consultant. But yeah, our plan is we have to figure out how Brenda can have a life now that the house that created her is no longer on the planet. Help Brenda integrate into a more honest life and hags. Have a good summer.
I kind of wish I had this show now. I want the show that goes to DragonCon and has a pop star as their recurring cast member playing a super strong robot. This has been Caleb.
This has been Tomas Jimenez Rioja. You can find me on Tribality and the Gnomes 2, as well as on social media by the handle of DGIMENEZRGM.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
This has been Folio, an actual play podcast about solo and epistolary TTRPGs. To find where you can find the show, check out foliopod.card.co. You can find Caleb Zane Hewitt at hauntedtable.games and calebzanehewitt.com. Triangle Agency, a game of paranormal investigation and corporate horror, has physical editions that you can order now. Check it out for like real. Just really, really do. You can find Tomas Jimenez Rioja at TGIMENEZ @RGM on Blue Sky, Twitter, and Instagram to be notified of the Kickstarter launch for Magnolia City of Marvels, a systemless setting of art, punk, and rebellion. Take a look at the page, take it all in. It looks like it truly has some incredible stuff in it that will help you run fantastic games. And isn't that... I don't know how I was going to end that sentence. Isn't that great? Isn't that fun? Isn't that what we want? It's something I want. Oh, okay. You can find me, if you're really impressed by how good I am at speaking and talking and promoting stuff, then check me out on Twitter at Posata Chips, PosataChips. And check out my other work at gagoffvibes.online. Yep, I'm out. I'm around. Today, we finished our game of Accomplice by Michael Klimaris, which you can also, of course, find linked in the episode description. Thanks so much for listening. Take care out there.